Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, everyone. Thank you for waiting. Welcome to the earnings call of the fourth quarter of 2020 from Rede D'Or São Luiz. We have here with us today the gentlemen Paulo Moll, President, Otávio Lazcano, Vice President of Finance and Investor Relations, Maurício Lopes, Executive VP, Rodrigo Gavina, Operations VP, and Leandro Reis, Medical Vice President. We inform that the event is being recorded and will be available at the website of Investor Relations of Rede D'Or. After the initial presentation, we will start with the Q&A session, and you will receive additional information. Before we proceed, we would like to clarify that anything that is said during the earnings call regarding to the perspectives of business of Rede D'Or São Luiz projections, operational and financial goals, are merely the beliefs and premises of the board of directors, as well as those information are available or based on information that is available. Future considerations are not guarantees of performance because they involve uncertainties and risks, and they refer to events in the future that might or might not take place. Investors should take full attention to general economic conditions, industry conditions, and operational factors that might affect the performance of the company and might lead to a different result than the ones expressed today. Now, I would like to give the floor to Mr. Paulo Moll. He will start the earnings call. Paulo, the floor is yours.
Hello. Thank you very much. Thank you for being here with us with the earnings call, and we will share the great results of the fourth quarter of 2020. I would like to actually show you the highlights of 2020. Certainly, it was the most challenging year of our history. Due to the pandemic of COVID-19, we felt it strongly in the private sector. We, in 15 days, assembled a crisis cabinet, and we evaluated the costs, the best practices in the hospitals to service our patients. We exchanged the experience with our colleagues in Europe because they were first affected before Brazil during the evolution of the pandemic. We also took care of the safety of our collaborators, and as well, we evaluated, of course, the budgets of the company. We did an expressive increase in the number of beds. Just so you know, here in Rio de Janeiro, we had 700 ICU, and we added much more, 1,000 ICU beds now. In May, we had 97% of occupancy, and you can see that this movement of Rede D'Or avoided a collapse in the healthcare sector of Rio de Janeiro. We hired thousands of employees and a lot of investment in equipment and materials, for example, personal protective equipment, so we can fully and with safety service our patients. We had an exceptional physicians and clinical body, and during the early pandemic, we had the feeling that we could make a difference and support the healthcare area as a whole. We supported the opening of another 1,100 hospital beds at the public healthcare system, SUS. I would like to highlight, we opened in a record time, in just 19 days, two hospitals with a lot of hospital beds, two temporary hospitals, of course. These made a lot of difference for the healthcare of Rio de Janeiro. All the other states, we also supported the public healthcare system. Even the ones that we don't have an operation, we supported them with materials, and we totaled 270 million reais in donations out of the 270 million. They were, well, 100 million were from partner companies, 170 from Rede D'Or. We also accompany the scientific initiatives here from Rede D'Or. We have over 10 investigation lines against COVID. We have vaccines. We have 4,000 volunteers for the phase 3 trials. And of course, we have international collaboration. You can see that our ecosystem in healthcare has been tested, and it responded in a way that we are very proud. And we provided safety for our patients and a lot of efficiency, only 2.5% of lethality, and here 10% COVID patients. Yeah. Increased the sense of ownership and engagement of our collaborators. I would like to highlight that this is a company that grows through M&A, and we are very proud. The technical indicators, we also kept a standard of excellence, the same threshold as the American and European thresholds. We also adhered to the UN tax, and we also adhere to EPICS, the principles of healthcare for IT, and we have our hospitals that are recognized by the best practices. So talking about the recovery of our operation and volumes, we have the second quarter. We are one of the few companies in our sector that had a very positive impact in the second quarter. We had a quick recovery. We, in the third quarter, delivered growth in regards of the third quarter of 2019. It shows the resilience of our operation, and we can leverage it. And our operational capacity throughout the year, you can see that we had 900 beds, additional beds, and they show the quick response and the maturity in the management of our team. And here, the capacity for execution, of course, is very strong in our company. We have an investment plan as well, 3.8 billion reais in 2020. Out of these, 2.4 billion were M&A directed, and these are 1,500 beds acquired. 1,000 were still were already operational in 2020. The other 436, we are implementing it in the first month of 2021. We had at the end of the year, we had the public offering of the company. We raised over 8 billion reais for the cash flow of our company with our investments. Our strategic plan is, it gives us our purpose to provide more access to high quality medicine to more Brazilians. We have alternative methods for payments and partnerships with our healthcare plan operators, our partners. We have cost efficiency strategies, and we are very excited with the growth and the efficiency that we are bringing to the operation. Here, last but not least, I would like to thank you for your trustworthiness. Well, for all the shareholders that have trusted Rede D'Or, and we will be working on the long term. And I would like to thank all the collaborators, all the workers here at Rede D'Or, because heroically they fought against COVID and they're still fighting. And I would like to highlight the way that they're working and their high quality and efficiency in the way that they work. And this is very important and very dire and trying times. Now, we will have the comments on our results. Thank you, Paulo. Once again, thank you all for being here in the first earnings call since we were listed at the stock exchange. Let's look at the fourth quarter. We have a great recovery in operational results, and we have consistency in our business. Let's start with the financial highlights, where we talk about gross revenue. Let's talk about the data here on the left. The gross revenue for the fourth quarter of 20 is 4.6 billion reais. Well, we have a historic record in the company, and for 2020, 15 billion versus 14, delta variation of 5.3%. And we can see that the numbers are growing since 19. Now, the deductions from gross revenue, we can see here the numbers, 4.7% variation. And we are having, of course, the challenges with the COVID-19. Now, if we see the page in the fourth quarter of 4.6 billion rand, it grew 10%, in comparison to the third quarter of 2020. And so before, we are comparing before and after COVID, let's look at the page number five, some operational indicators. Let's start with the graph on the top on the left. We have a hospital occupancy rate in the fourth quarter of 2020 of 77.6%, 4 percentage points above the one reported for the fourth quarter of 19. If we go to the center of the page and still on the top, the average ticket for the fourth quarter is 9,121 reais, and we have the total revenue divided by the patient day. It grew 9.8% in the average ticket comparison to the average ticket of 19. In the same way, if we compare it annually, the average ticket of 2020, 8,620 reais, grew 7.7%. If you compare it to the average ticket reported for FY19. Now, the average ticket not only reflects the negotiated services with the paying parties, it reflects our capacity of the company to continuously attract more complex cases to be treated in our hospitals and also work with other types of care. Now, let's go to the top on the right. We have the volume. Patient day in the fourth quarter of 2020 grew 10.7% when you compare it to the fourth quarter of 19. In the same way, the volume of patients a day was just 2.3% inferior once you compare it to FY19. Once again, a drop of 2.3% only facing all the challenges that we all had to go through with the pandemic. In the bottom part of your page, you can see Rededor, the total beds and operational beds. We see here 7,000 393 in 2020, and 8,819 total beds. This is an expected impact of our investments and also the capacity to leverage of the company with all the investments that we've done facing the scenario of the increase of, there is more need for hospital services. Let's just go to the next page. And we have a few operational data of our businesses. Let's start with oncology. On the top left, we have the volumes of procedures. It grew 4% comparing to the fourth quarter of 19. In the same way, the volume of procedures in 2020 has stability once you compare it to the FY19. On the top on the right, the average ticket of oncology is 6,101. 6,169, and that is a growth of 28.7% in comparison to 19. Now, the comparison between the two average tickets in the year was an increase of 21.6% if you compare FY20 to FY19. Nonetheless, it was just the last quarter. Now, at the bottom of the page, we have the gross revenue for the fourth quarter of 288 million reais, 2% higher than the one reported in the third quarter of 2020, with 33.7% higher than the fourth quarter of 19. The same way, if you compare it annually, the gross revenue of 2020, 1,103 million reais, was 21.6% higher than the FY19. Next page. We can present you the cost and expenses. Administrative and general expenses. Let's start with the left. The cost of services provided in the fourth quarter of 3,144,000,000 was 21.6% higher than the fourth quarter of 2019. If you compare it year by year, year on year, the services provided in 2020 is 11,462,000,000 reais, was 16.5% higher than the one reported for the FY of 19. We have a highlight for the growth in the managed units, well, in hospital sales, of just 3% in the year of the pandemic. So let's go to the right now. The general and administrative expenses over the fourth quarter of 2020, 116 million reais, was 8.7% higher than the ones reported for the fourth quarter of 19. If you compare it annually, we have the non-recurring, well, the general and administrative expenses for 2020 was 52% higher than the ones reported for FY19. This increase reflects the decision of the company to change the legal format, and this is a non-recurring event, and they don't have an impact in the cash flow of the company, which resulted in an accounting recognition of an expense of 303 million reais that only happened once. Now, all throughout the year, we don't have any more updates. Let's go to the next page. Let's start with the graph in the middle. The EBITDA of the fourth quarter of 2020 of 1 billion reais and 17 million reais was 2.5% higher than the EBITDA reported in the third quarter of 20% higher than the EBITDA reported for the fourth quarter of 19. The adjusted EBITDA of the fourth quarter of 1,142,000,000 reais was 0.8% than the adjusted EBITDA for the third quarter of 2020, with 24.5% higher than the adjusted EBITDA for the fourth quarter of 19. In the year, if you can see the adjustment of 3.6 billion reais to 3.1 billion reais, there is a 13.6% drop because of the reasons that we already reported. Now, let's see the sequence of two quarters that really constitute the EBITDA of the company. Now, let's see the adjusted margin, adjusted EBITDA margin. We can see 22.7% for the fiscal year of 2020, comparing to the fiscal year of 2019, 27.6%. And the next page, we have the debt of the company. As of December 31st, 2020, we have gross debt of 21,341,000,000. The gross debt average cost, CDI, plus 1.8%. The average gross term average debt, 5.3 years. The percentage of foreign currency debt, 39.6%. And the percentage of foreign currency debt with full foreign exchange handling, 100%. We always leverage, and then immediately we hire the derivative to protect 100% of our exchange rate. We also reported of cash when we have a net debt of 5.6 billion reais. The net, well, we have the net leverage ratio of 2.3, the net debt EBITDA. Now we annualize the EBITDA and we verify the strong recovery of the results from the third quarter onwards. In that way, we will get a net leverage ratio of only 1.2 times. And then we would have it higher than 4.6%. Now, we can see that the debt amortization schedule was enough to actually pay for all of the liabilities until 2020. This is a very solid position. In the next page, we will talk about the net income and cash flow. Let's start with the net income. The net income was 302 million reais for the fourth quarter of 2020, 7% better than reported for the fourth quarter of 2019. Now, the net debt of 459 million reais of 2020 is 61.4% lower than the one reported for 2019 because of the reasons we all know. Let's see on the right, and we can see the cash flow. Let's start with the adjusted EBITDA of 3,179 million reais. And during the first adjustment, the operational cash flow, as we had the recovery of the operations from August onwards of last year, we invested the additional cash alongside with what we expect with the company. A second adjustment is related with, sheer rental and an adjustment of 488 million reais. We have 220 million reais, and we have the cost of the cash of the company, 1 billion and 34 million reais. What has to do with investments? We also have heard from Paulo the investments are 3 billion 788 million reais for FY2020, and another historical record for the company in the last 2 years of the company. We are working with 7.5 billion reais. And over the last few years, the company has invested over 15 billion reais in the investment plan. The financing activity has a positive outcome of 13 billion 700 million reais, notably 8.2 billion from the primary capital from the IPO. And we have the financial structure of the company that is very solid for the investment for the growth plan. And also for the issuance of bonuses of 1.2 billion reais from January onwards. So we have the final cash and cash equivalents of 15 billion 727 million reais at the end of the FY20. We're getting at the end of the presentation. Let me just give you the performance of our shares since the IPO, RVOR. It's listed at the B3. And we can see the new market. We had the offering of 11.4 billion reais, the starting share price, 57 reais and 92 cents. Once we close the FY, we can see the numbers and an average volume negotiated of 207 million reais. The market value is about 133 billion reais. If you go to the center of the page, we can see the shareholding composition. We have the controlling family that controls 51.6%. Then we have the free float, 44.8%. Then we have management and treasury, 1.4% and 2.2%, respectively. Here we have the shares within the IPO comparing to the indicator of the Stock Exchange ID, IBOL. Now I finish the highlights and I give the floor to the moderator, and we are open for Q&A. Thank you very much. Very well. Let's start with our Q&A session. Should you want to ask any questions, please type *9 on your telephone. We're waiting for the questions. First question will be from Samuel Alves from BTG Bank. Samuel? Hello, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Paulo. Everybody that is in the call. Two questions. First, if you can explain a little bit more the movement from the third to the fourth quarter over net debt, this is very important for the investments, and the net, that is lower ex-IPO. Do you have any financial math here? And also, the second question is if you can tell us a little bit more about how is the dynamics for January and February, qualitatively speaking. Do we see the same trend in the fourth quarter of 2020? And congratulations on the IPO. Samuel, hello, thank you. So the first question, in the third quarter, we actually paid a credit line, paid the debtor, in full, and that resulted in some occasional gains in regards to the, well, we have the associated derivative associated to the credit line. Additionally, we had the marking of the market of some financial assets that we have the portfolio in the portfolio of the cash flow of the company, and that explains the variation of the financial results in the third quarter to the fourth quarter, and a better result when you compare it to the fourth quarter, better result in the third when you compare it to the fourth. And now, Samuel, we've had in the fourth quarter a very significant number of patients being serviced, that received care, and we had the COVID patients, and we had to actually have the elective surgeries. We had a few of these patients coming back in the fourth quarter, and this is a trend. We are still not doing everything that we see as a potential in elective surgeries, but we imagine that over the next few months, we will see a progressive reduction of the COVID patients. Now, that varies state by state. Of course, some states have a significant number of COVID patients, but looking overall, the prediction for the year is that we will have a gradual reduction of the COVID-infected patients and that the elective surgeries, therefore, will continue to grow inversely proportionate. Thank you, Paulo. Thank you, everyone. The next question will be from Joseph Giordano from JP Morgan. Joseph? Hello, good morning, everyone. Hello, everyone. Congratulations on the results and the IPO. I have two questions as well. First, it will deal with the integration of the assets that were recently acquired. I wanted to understand how is the rolling out of these operations, are they working close to the average stability of the company? And when do you imagine that we will have 100% of the assets, let's just say towards the end of the year, incorporated to the company as a whole? Second question, it deals with the strategy for growth, specifically in M&A. We've seen a capital markets activity that is very intense in the hospital market, some players that are trying to also implement M&A strategy. So I wanted to hear from you. How is the pipeline? And the company has that in their DNA, of course, and they've been doing that for a long time. But I believe I wanted to know if there is any corporate competition or maybe something else for the MOUs and exclusivity contracts for, you know, to counter the actions of the competitors. Well, hi, good morning. Well, first of all, the integration of the assets. We concluded this throughout 2020. We have all of our plan, and they are within the history that we have for the speed of integration. And in the first year, we already are getting a lot of the synergies and the cost of materials and medications and so on and so forth. We cannot bring you all the synergies within the first year. Of course, we have convergence, and this is more looking to a horizon of 2 years, but we can already see some synergies and getting some results in the first few months. Now, on the sector, healthcare sector being, it's on the move, and some companies also started their IPOs, but we see a lot of movement. Nonetheless, Regidor, our vision is that the sector is very large, fragmented. We have a lot of small hospitals and a lot of opportunities in our under our vision. There will be space to fulfill our expansion plan, and we will keep our discipline, always looking at good returns on the investment and looking at the strategies to work with our assets. And we hope that, well, Regidor, we always deliver consistency and growth. And this is the way that we look at the M&As. Also, we need to continue with the expansion, which will bring a great ROI for the company. Thank you. Very well. Next question. Mauricio from Credit Suisse. Mauricio?
Hello, good morning. This is Cepeda. Paulo Tavio Leandro, hello. This is a qualitative question. And also, well, actually, quantitatively speaking, do you have any sort of traceability of data on the level of occupancy by COVID? And mainly talking about ICU capacity, do you have a scenario where you have some hospitals that are not capable of absorbing some of these patients? What do you think?
Good question, Mauricio.
Well, first of all, it's important to say that the demand for the COVID patients are mainly by the ICUs. And when we talk about the elective surgeries, they happen with the apartments where they have to be still admitted to the hospital, but they're not going through the ICU. And that impacts a lot of hospitals. But nonetheless, we've managed to service the demand with some leeway. There are some exceptions, of course, some states that you have a peak of COVID cases. Nonetheless, we've seen and we've managed to grow the number of services with elective surgeries. We see the behavior in the second quarter. The reduction of elective surgeries was more due to a reaction of the population and the physicians themselves. When we didn't know a lot about the virus at the time, it wasn't because we didn't have the capacity to service the population. It was just what happened at the beginning of the pandemic. Now we have hospital beds to put them to work and in operation, and we can keep the good service and to all pathologies, regardless of COVID. Thank you.
Next question will be from Fred from Bradesco Bank. Fred.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Thank you, Paulo. Two questions. Also, first one. We've seen the oncology ticket that is growing a lot. We imagine that there is a lot of complexity and this is growing, but do you expect that this is going to be, as oncology is increasing its activity, will it be a driver for the margin? This is the first question. And the second question is much more in the strategic and diagnosis. How do you see some procedures? You have a few contracts of exclusivity that are already reaching its deadline. Do you have space for growing more in the future?
Well, let's start with oncology. The growth of the oncology ticket was due to the increase of the launch of new drugs in the market, and this is a dynamic that we've seen over the past few years from the pharmaceutical companies. I mean, and this is very difficult to see what is going to be the target over the next few years. We have projections that are more conservative. 2020 actually exceeded our projections with the launching of new drugs in the market. So possibly we will have a higher impact in the ticket due to the dynamic of oncology, a lot of investment done in the development of these drugs. Now, talking about diagnosis, not only diagnosis, but the entire ecosystem, we've seen that we want to grow organically, evaluating. Diagnosis is not different. We need the infrastructure in the hospitals. We've done some acquisitions in Pernambuco State and imaging Rio de Janeiro as well. So we see that this is an area, as all the other areas, well, not speaking about hospital service per se, but this is an area that is an area that has a great opportunity for M&A and also organic growth.
Thank you.
Next question from Leandro Filibank. Leandro?
Hello. Good morning. Sorry for the noise. On my side, three specific questions. The first one, well, what was the contribution of the M&A, the acquisitions of the new unit and the growth of the fourth quarter? First question. Second question, we've seen in the adjustments non-recurring expenses from COVID of 100 million, and I just wanted to understand the nature of that adjustment. Last but not least, we've seen the proposal for the increase of the ICMS tax in the state of São Paulo for medications and hospital materials. Do you have an estimation on the impact on the business? That's it. Thank you. Leandro, this is Otavio. We have the specific contribution of in the quarter. We have the assets that were acquired, but we do not open those numbers for the market. Okay, no problem. Second part of your question. ICMS tax. If there is no review, this will have an impact based on these items of about 7%. This is for the tax compensation, of course, and the most part of these items, we will pass on those values, and these on our items that we charge values with the invoices and the margin on that, and these are invoiced directly to the healthcare operators. For example, prosthesis and oncology, this is, we're going to have the capacity that is automatic, and this is a very limited impact for oncologic medications. Your last question, the adjustment, COVID, 100 million. Of course, I was an atypical company, and as Paulo has said, the company has taken the leadership as a leader in the market for social responsibility, and we've done donations of about 200 million reais. In the same way, if you look at our explanatory note published number 7, you will see that the exposable materials and materials for hospital has a growth. So you expect a few volatility in a few lines, service lines within our financial demonstrations related to the pandemic itself. Of course, we all wish to understand and hope that the pandemic will be behind us. We already started with the process of vaccination of the worldwide population, and these events are non-recurrent, as we mentioned. Have we addressed your question? I don't want to leave you without the answer. No, it's clear. Thank you, Paulo. I just wanted to understand the nature of everything that was happening. Thank you. Well, the operator is here. We don't have any more questions. You can talk to investor relations should you have any more questions. And with that, we close our call of results. Once again, thank you very much for hearing this call. Thank you for your presence here, and have a wonderful day. Thank you. I'm going to come back. In the same way, we close the audio conference of Rede D'Or. Thank you for your participation, and have a wonderful day.